afternoon, and what is your name?
Sarah.
Okay, yes. The honorable on this room house is going to conduct your hearing.
Okay. Ms. Curtis, I'm going to get it. Could you please state your name and your ABC number for the record this time?
Sarah Marie Curtis, 308457.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the two allegations that are listed on your warrant of arrest. And I see that you signed a form on March 19th that notified you about this hearing. Do you remember signing that form?
I do now.
Okay, and on that form, this is why that's important, is a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you if you had your option. Did you hire an attorney today, or are you representing yourself?
No, ma'am, I'm representing myself.
Okay, that's just fine. The attorney is just an option. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. If you start on the screen all the way down to your right, way at the closest to you there on the screen, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to me here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. On my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today. Also with us in
the room. Nice to meet you.
Also with us, we have Mr. O'Leary, who you can see now. He works for the Department of Corrections, and he will represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Ms. Curtis and Mr. O'Leary, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. So Ms. Curtis, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, I will read these two allegations to you, and as I read them, I need you to tell me if they're true or false.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll go ahead and start phase one of your hearing. And the first allegation is that you're in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about August 30th, 2016, as verbally directed on August 22nd, 2016. Ms. Cookis, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
That's true, okay. And then the second allegation is that you were in violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 4545 North 67th Avenue, number 1069 in Phoenix, on or about August 30th, 2016, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Ms. Cookis, is that true or false?
That's false.
That's false. Okay. Then I'm going to ask Mr. O'Leary to take some testimony from him about that. So just remain on the line. I'll be right back with you, Mr. O'Leary.
Allegation number two, on August 22nd of 2016, was released to community supervision with the approved placement to TLC at 132 South Bronson, Mesa, Arizona, 85210. On August 22nd of 2016, the offender reported to the Mesa Regional Parole Office for an initial intake. At that time, the offender provided an acceptance letter to the Scully House at 20235 North Cape Creek Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 85024, and requested permission from CCO Nance to reside at that address. The offender received verbal consent from CCO Nance to reside at the Scully House. On August 29th of 2016, the offender called CCO Nance and requested permission to reside with her cousin, Amanda Martinez, at 4545 North 67th Avenue, number 1069, Phoenix, Arizona, 85033. On September 9th, 2016, CCO Nance spoke with Amanda Martinez, who stated she was not the offender's cousin, but was a friend trying to help her out. She stated the offender was at her residence on August 29th, 2016, when she requested permission to reside there. But on or about August 30th, 2016, the offender took all of her belongings and moved from the residence. She has not heard from her since that date. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, and she is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up number two. On September 9th, 2016, CCO Vance attempted to hand deliver a letter to the offender at the address she provided at 4545 North 67th Avenue, number 1069, Phoenix, Arizona, 85033, with Amanda Martinez. And then the state of the offender came to the residence on August 29th of 2016. However, she packed up all her belongings and left the residence on August 30th of 2016. Ms. Martinez has not heard from her since. On September 9th of 2016, Cecilia Nance called the offender's emergency contact, Suzanne Ablock, mother. However, there was no voicemail box or answer at the contact number. Cecilia Nance contacted the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and the offender was not located within the Maricopa County jail system. There are no other family or friends to contact in an attempt to locate the offender.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver. So, Ms. Cookus, what is not true about this?
The friend that was living in Vegas, I never stated she was my cousin. I did state that I was going to stay with her. And from the moment that I moved in, the very following day after all of my belongings were left there at her house, I couldn't get her to answer the door. I literally slept outside two nights in a row, and then finally I left to my paternal father's house, where he was living only 2 miles away from that location. I repetitively went over there trying to get my belongings where they stole in my property my father's cell phone, and were picking up my father's cell phone and saying that they weren't going to give me my belongings back. The only way I received any of my belongings that were at that residence was after they ransacked it, rummaged through it, and threw it away in the trash. And I got that after hours at night when they were on the curbside. I do admit to making the mistake of, you know what I mean, trusting her and thinking that she was going to help me in my sobriety. She was a friend that I met through, going through county and through a prison inmate that, like, I had trusted. But that's the truth. As soon as my belongings were left in her residence, I was never allowed to go back in that residence. I became completely homeless. I wish I would have taken the opportunity of the Skelly House as far as everything goes with the halfway house and everything. Like, I want that opportunity again. I want to, I mean, I got my sobriety pin the first night that I was there.
Ms. Cookus. We first need to establish phase one here, so we're going to start. That's okay, I know you want to tell us, and you're good to tell. So really, I just need, once again, we have to go back to this, that you changed your place of residence at 4545 North 67th Avenue on or about August 30th without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Is that true?
No, the parole officer, Nance, I spoke to her over the phone. She said that that was fine. She said to go ahead and to leave the Skelly House, to move there, and that she would be doing a face-to-face on that visit.
This is after. This is when you left the 4545 North 67th Avenue.
No, my cell phone was in my property at the 4545 residence, and they
didn't. But you were not there. You were not there. That was not your place of residence.
No. It was a friend's place of residence, not a cousin.
All right. Yes. And based on Ms. Cookus's admission for allegation number one, and based on testimony from Mr. Oliveri of the Department of Corrections for allegation number two, I move to find Ms. Cookus was delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal vice or company.
Second. Agreed.
Okay. All right. Back to you then, seconded by Mr. Johnson, right? And agreed by Dr. White, Ms. Van. I mean, Mr. Quinones, I missed the box, sorry. Okay. Ms. Cookus, we can move to phase two of the hearing, which is probably the more important one to you, which is, do we reinstate or revoke your community supervision? But before we get too far into that, I want to ask Mr. Oliveri to give us a summary of your background. So just hold on, stay on the line, and listen in, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment. Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Cookus was released from the Department of Corrections on August 22nd of 2016. She was arrested on February 14th of 2018 by Arizona DPS on arrest number warrant only, returned back to DOC custody on February 26th of 2018. She has 533 days of scum. Her projected supervision end date will be on June 6th of 2018. Current convictions, 2014, child adult abuse, 1 year, and also in 2014, criminal possession of a forgery device, 1 year. There are no prior convictions noted. She has only one term with ABC. CU and IR scores are a 2-1, mental health score of a 2, and substance abuse score of a 2. There is no STG and information noted. There are no prior terms of supervision. She has minimal disciplinary history. There are no other arrests noted. And her community risk level is a G1-B1.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. So, Ms. Kokas, as far as living arrangements, it looks like you were out in August of 2016, August 22nd, and you were originally at the TLC on Robson and Mesa, but then that's when you requested to go to the Skelly House in Phoenix. And then, as you explained, you asked to go move to this 4545 North 67th Avenue with Amanda Martinez. And then that night, you're saying, is the night that she locked the door and would not let you in.
That's correct, no.
Okay, with all your stuff. So you stayed, you said you were homeless for a couple of days, and then you went to live with your father?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, gotcha. Were you moving at all during that time that you were out?
No, ma'am, I didn't even get, I'm going to tell you the truth. I think I just set myself up for failure with that. I want the opportunity again. I mean, I know I can do it. I'm capable. I work right now at a central office downtown. I'm the lead landscaper there, and I only made lead landscaper in 1 week. And I'm busting my butt. I want the opportunity. I know what I want, and I know where I can go now. Just the opportunity, ma'am. That's it.
So, Ms. Cookis, you were on abscond status for 533 days, more than a year. What were you doing during that time? What were you doing?
I was staying with a friend. I was staying with a friend in Fountain Hills, and, like a really good family. I come from a broken home. I grew up in the projects, and I found love, with this family, and I knew I had to take care of this, but, how do you take care of something that you know is inevitable? I get it, but, they were so good to me, they were so loving, and I've never even had a family like that. My parents were divorced before I could even talk, and my friend's family took me in, and it was just, I know I needed to get it done, but I didn't want to lose a family that I never had before, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm sitting out with that.
Okay, so it didn't occur to you to call your parole officer? When's the last time you talked to your parole officer?
I talked to her in, I believe, the end of August of 2016. I mean, I was keeping in contact with her. They stole my cell phone from that house that I was at. And to tell you the truth, I knew that I was going to, probably get a warrant or whatever. And I was terrified because my first trip around to prison was not easy. So, I took the cop-out way. I admit that. I'm 100% at fault for not complying and not at all communicating, and that's not in my nature, but I was scared.
Okay, understood. I'll see if my fellow board members have questions. Anybody have a question? Okay, Ms. Kokas, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if you want to without repeating what you've already told us. Is there anything else that we should know?
I just want to say that I have an opportunity to reunite with two of my four children. They're 12 and 13 years old, and they're little girls. And I just want that opportunity. I promise I won't fail this time because I'm going into it with intentions, not just for myself and not for selfishness. I'm always going to be a recovering addict, and this time around, I have a 13-year-old daughter that literally needs me emotionally, and she needs physically to have her mom back. So this time around, I feel like I deserve that chance. It's been 5 years.
And where are your children now? Where are they?
They're with their father, who is very, very supportive of me this time around. I have changed in so many ways, but like you can see it now. You know what I mean? I don't just talk the talk. I actually prove it. I got up this time in prison and I got me a job, and you know, I stay focused and I'm determined because I want my kids to be proud of me. I want to be proud of me.
Well, that's probably the most important one. So, all right, thank you, Ms. Cooper. The board is going to go into discussion. We do all the discussion in public, and we've not talked about your case before right now. So just stay on the line here and just remain silent. We'll be right back with you.
Thank you very much.
The board is now
to all of you.
Ms. Cooper is, has very limited involvement with the criminal justice system, that's for sure. Acknowledges she's a recovering addict. Dylan wants to get out and be with her children, and I certainly would, you know, support that. I just can't overlook that she was conned for 533 days, which just, you know, violates, as Mr. Pianos would say, the spirit of community supervision. So, but I would listen to any input from fellow board members. Mr. Pianos?
Yes, I agree with you, and I know that the discussion is amongst the board and that she's listening in, but she has very little time left,
right.
And she'll be returning to her support very soon.
Very soon. Very soon. Okay, then I'm going to make a motion based on information of warrant 2016-W3042, our discussion with Ms. Cookus and information provided by Mr. Oliveri of the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Cookus was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company, specifically by absconding for 533 days.
Second.
Agreed.
All right. Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Quinones. I'll check it correctly this time. So, Ms. Cookus, you heard our discussion. You have such limited involvement in the criminal justice system. And, you know, you acknowledge you've got a drug problem, and you know, we wish you the best with that, certainly. But you really do need to be a mom to your kids. You have such a short time. I know it probably seems like eons to you, but June 6th is not that far away. When June 6th comes, you won't have a parole officer. You'll be able to do whatever you want and go wherever you want. So we certainly wish you the best. Hope that you're able to, you know, get everything worked out well for you. I'm glad you had the time with the family in Fountain Hills, and hope that you can return to something like that in the very near future. So thank you very much for participating in your hearing today. And your hearing is concluded. Thank you so much.